3. Unexpected Surprises.
Now, as you undoubtedly know, a Quintessal consumes magic. This makes them ideal for use against hostile mages. When under your control, their digestive process can be accelerated to the point that there is hardly any loss of energy for the repurposed blast.
From Kulvinar Vryum's Bestiary for Conjurers, page 12. Clothed in a fancy garb of dark blue, a long-sleeved coat and matching trousers, Amundal rode toward Soroth, but not on a horse. He needed something that could run faster, so he conjured a Yiddoth, a large feral feline native to the southern forests of the mainland. Amundal had stumbled across this particular Yiddoth while in the Malar Forest. The beast was as long as a man was tall, and its back came up to Amundal's stomach. It was covered in green fur with large, dark brown spots sparsely spread across its body. He rode the conjuration bareback, using his belt as a makeshift halter. Since he was in full control of the Yiddoth, he could easily rest the belt in the conjuration's mouth without worrying about undesirable bite marks. The Yiddoth drew the eyes of everyone Amundal passed. Its green fur and spots stood out against Soroth's gray stone buildings and roads. The conjuration startled several people, drawing alarmed screams. Yiddoths appeared in several cautionary tales. Those stories often involved Yiddoths pouncing on unsuspecting travelers. Those stories were not too far from the truth, as Yiddoths often slept on tree limbs. After causing several fits of hysteria, Amundal neared one of his favorite nighttime establishments, Makavir's Lounge. It was not the fanciest of places to spend an evening, but its crowds were always diverse. At Amundal's mental command, the Yiddoth slowed, stopping abruptly behind a parked carriage. Such a halt would have caused a horse to rear up on its hind legs, but the Yiddoth simply stopped. Amundal dismounted, swiftly drawing his belt from the conjuration's mouth. Before Amundal could don his belt, a middle-aged man rounded the carriage with a stunning younger woman in tow. The man screamed upon seeing the Yiddoth and stumbled backward. The woman started, but not a sound left her painted lips. Amundal grinned and turned to the woman, gesturing toward her companion. "You know, if he scares that easily, he's not worth your time." The woman glanced to the man, then back to Amundal.
Is that a Yiddoth?"
Yes, it is," Amundal said. "He's perfectly tame, well, most of the time. He only tried to eat one person on the ride through the city." The man took another step backward, falling against a neighboring carriage. Amundal burst into laughter. Amid his mirth, he uttered an incantation. Golden light swirled around his hands, particles of conjuration magic. The golden light shot beyond the wary couple, forming a portal to the Vizierm expanse. At Amundal's command, the Yiddoth trotted toward the portal. The man jumped in alarm, but the woman remained calm. Once the Yiddoth's nose touched the portal, the creature was immediately sucked through the golden vortex.
"It wasn't real,"
the man declared, standing and straightening his clothes. Amundal dismissed the portal with a wave of his hand. "It was plenty real, and it could have eaten you." He strode past the couple and toward the entrance to Makavir's Lounge. He heard the man swallow hard, then mutter something to the woman. "That was fun," Amundal thought. "I should ride conjurations through the city more often. Perhaps I'll start racing Yiddoths." The familiar sense of strong liquor washed across Amundal as he entered the crowded tavern. He pushed his way through the crowd until he reached the heart of the establishment, an open floor large enough to accommodate a few hundred people. Patrons frequently danced there, but tonight they were mostly talking. A few couples were kissing, some a little too passionately. If music were playing in Makavir's Lounge, it would come from the stage at the far end of the open floor. but tonight the stage was empty. I probably missed the music, Amandal thought. That was fine. He wasn't much of a dancer. He scanned the crowd, looking for pretty faces. I wonder if Ivana is here. Amandal had considered stopping by her home, but it was late, and she was most likely out having fun. Or with another man. He pursed his lips. Best not to think of that. Amandal turned his gaze to the booths lining the wall. Many were occupied by couples or small groups. A familiar face caught his eye among a group of six sitting in a booth.
Fendar?
He stepped closer, recognizing four of the others. The sixth was concealed behind Jakim, who was rattily pounding on the table. Each had studied at the Sarothian Magical Order with Amandal. They were his acquaintances, not quite his friends. None were conjurers, but they had all graduated together, though three were older than Amandal. Those three had begun their studies at an older age. It had been a few years since Amandal had seen any of them. Fancy that, he muttered, pushing through the crowd toward them. Fendar Kallus sat in the corner, speaking animatedly. He was probably telling a story. Fendar had a flair for the dramatic. A dramatic flair was a good trait for an illusionist. He was an average-looking man with black hair and a short nose. Beside Fendar sat Silas Geroid. She was an Arpranist, a mage who specialized in healing. Arpranists could do other things, such as preventing injury or expelling diseases. Some even claimed their magics could extend one's life. Silas wasn't the most attractive woman, definitely not someone Amandal would bed. She was kind, though. When they were no more than 10 years old, Amandal had climbed a tree on a dare from Ildan. He'd fallen and broken his arm. Silas had quickly run to him as she mustered Arpran magic. It took her a few tries, but she'd been able to mend the bone. On the other side of Silas was Morjadayan Cheval. Morjadayan was a tough-looking fellow. If Amandal had been born that ugly, he would have become an illusionist to improve his appearance. Morjadayan obviously didn't feel that way, as he had trained to become a barjanist. He was pretty good, too. During one of the Order's semi-annual tournaments, Morjadayan had climbed through the ranks and nearly won the competition. Usually, barjan magic was used for defense, but he managed to use it offensively. Barjanists mustered impenetrable barriers and shields. But barjan barriers could be inverted, and that's what Morjadayan had done. He had trapped his opponents and forced them to the ground. Opposite Morjadayan sat Dougal Vintris. He was a transmuter and a trickster. Dougal was a short and skinny man with a face like a weasel. During their final year at the Sarothian Magical Order, Dougal decided to play a prank on the younger acolytes. He had noticed the boys frequently practicing beneath a tree outside the Order's main hall. Early one morning, Dougal took Fendar and snuck onto the Order's grounds. Dougal transmuted the grass to quicksand, and Fendar masked it with an illusion. They went about their day waiting for the acolytes. Dougal said it had taken the acolytes a while to realize what was happening. He could sense them through the quicksand. Needless to say, those acolytes never practiced beneath that tree again. Jakim Nordum sat beside Dougal, laughing raucously at Fendar's tale. Jakim was a necromancer. He specialized in mustering acidic magic. Jakim was tall and lanky, with light blonde hair that looked almost white in the sun. Amandal craned his neck, trying to see who sat beside Jakim. A pretty hand reached for a tall glass on the table, but that was all Amandal could see. Who is that? He wondered, maneuvering through the open floor. A rowdy crowd of patrons blocked his path, and Amandal was forced to walk around them. While nearing the table, Amandal ran her possible identity through his head. There were at least 12 women who might mingle with those five. Amandal had betted over half of them, and each hated him, to say the least. Amandal was a few paces from the table when Morjadayan spotted him.
Amandal Aramian!
Morjadayan shouted, rising from the booth, his hulking frame standing taller than Amandal.
Morji!
Amandal exclaimed, and the two of them embraced, slapping each other on the back. The others at the booth stirred, turning toward Amandal.
Hey now, Morjadayan said, stepping back. Don't call me Morji. I'm not a kid anymore.
I know, Amandal grabbed Morjadayan's shoulder. It just makes me feel better to call you that. With your overwhelming masculinity, he waved his hand up and down, I have to do something to feel less intimidated. Jacob burst into laughter. The others greeted Amandal, and then he saw her. Felinia Tussara, 3 years his senior, sat in the corner beside Jacob, her hands resting atop her tall glass. Lush, golden blonde hair curled halfway down her back, partially covering her long face. She studied Amandal with her sea-gray eyes, and a teasing smile formed upon her full lips, revealing her dimples. She was not one of the 12 women Amandal had considered. Aside from Ildan's sister, Gwyneth, Felinia was the most stunning woman Amandal had ever seen. Unfortunately, Felinia had resisted his advances over the years. Felinia's beauty was not her only attractive feature. During her studies at the Sarothian Magical Order, she had studied both the elemental and arcane channels of magic, two subsets of the wizardry discipline. Not only was she an accomplished wizard, she was also an illusionist. Felinia was considered a dualist mage, though she had mastered the combined knowledge of three disciplines.
Well, fancy seeing you here, Amandal said to Felinia.
He let his gaze linger before he began talking to the others.
So what brings all of you out tonight? Just enjoying the nightlife of Soroth, Fendar said. You?
I needed to clear my head, Amandal said. Riding a Yiddoth through the streets was refreshing.
Jacob burst into laughter, slamming a fist on the table. He was obviously drunk.
You did what?
Sylas asked.
Rode atop a Yiddoth, Amandal said.
Oh, those things can run fast.
He grinned, focusing on Felinia. He directed what he hoped was a smoldering gaze at her, filled with a lustful passion. Felinia, however, returned to her drink. She took a sip, then looked past Amandal.
What am I going to have to do? Amandal wondered.
Dougal slapped Amandal's side, distracting him from his quandary.
Say, I haven't seen you at any of the meetings. You're coming with us, right?
What meetings?
Where have you been?
Fendar asked incredulously.
The meetings for the expedition to the Abadyn Wasteland. We're going to Tardalim.
Oh, those meetings.
Amandal waggled a finger at Fendar.
Yeah, I'm not going to the halls of the damned.
Jacob laughed, once more slamming his hand on the table.
You do know we're not actually going to a hell, don't you?
Fendar asked.
It's a reliquary. Someone probably decided to name it after the place in their religious texts.
Shouldn't that scare you? Amandal asked, examining his friends.
Morjadayan raised an eyebrow.
Why?
He asked.
It's a bunch of old ruins in an Antarctic wasteland. I doubt there are even monsters inside it.
Amandal pointed a finger to Morjadayan.
And another reason I'm not interested.
Because there are no monsters? Dougal asked. What about the Tevisrals, Amandal?
I'm not interested in Tevisrals.
His friends stared at him in shock. Jacob chuckled awkwardly, but Morjadayan was the first to speak.
Why not?
Amandal shrugged.
Like I said, I have more important things to do.
There couldn't be anything more important than unearthing Tevisrals, Sylas said flatly.
I could give you a whole list, Amandal said. One, he raised his forefinger, I have a lot of reading to catch up on. Two, he raised the next finger, I haven't seen my family in 9 months and I'd like to spend some time with them. Three, he raised his third finger, I have some practicing to do with my conjurations, more nighttime Yudoth racing and such. Four, he extended his pinky, my brother needs some help adjusting his attitude. And five, he extended his thumb, I just don't want to go. Why should I waste my time adventuring when I can hone my art? Silas blinked in disbelief.
Those are the stupidest excuses I've ever heard,
Felinia said, shaking her head. Well, I have five other fingers, Amandal said, holding up his other hand. I'm sure I can list something to your liking. Jacob snorted.
I doubt they'd be any better,
Felinia sighed, then nudged Jacob.
Let me out.
Dougal slid out of the booth, followed by Jacob, who lost his footing and fell toward Amandal. Amandal caught him and set him on his feet as Felinia slid out of the booth, standing nearly as tall as Amandal in her heeled boots. She slapped some coins on the table, then spun toward the door.
I'll see you tomorrow, she said. Good night, everyone.
You're leaving already? Amandal asked. The fun is just starting. Felinia glanced over her shoulder as she moved away.
Good night, Amandal.
Don't you want to see a Yudoth race? She called after him. I'll let you ride mine. It's bigger than most.
Felinia waggled a finger over her head and disappeared into the crowd.
Wow, what a rejection, Fendar said.
Mojadayan chuckled.
I think you should have left the riding bit out. Tacky innuendo.
Amandal shot Mojadayan an annoyed glance.
That wasn't an innuendo.
Sounded like one to me,
Silas said, shrugging.
Fendar gestured at Silas.
I think she wants to ride your Yudoth.
Face flushed, Silas slapped Fendar, knocking him against the wall, evoking laughter all around the table. As he joined in their mirth, Amandal felt a hand on his shoulder. He turned to see Ivana. She stood much shorter than him, with black hair and dark olive skin. Her brown eyes stared at Amandal with a lustful yearning.
And here I thought you'd look more scraggly,
Ivana said, stroking Amandal's arm.
When did you return home?
Today, Amandal said. I was hoping to find you here. Ivana's small lips twisted into a devious smile.
Care to walk me home? She asked, her eyes inviting. I was just about to leave.
Amandal studied her for a moment, then glanced quickly throughout the lounge. Where had Ivana been hiding?
Naturally, Amandal said, taking her hand.
He turned back to his friends at the booth. Their laughter had died, but Fendar was still rubbing his cheek.
It was good seeing you all, Amandal said, waving to his friends. Don't die while exploring the holes of the damned.
As he and Ivana walked toward the door, Jacob laughed raucously and pounded a fist on the table.
That man can sure get drunk, Amandal thought, shaking his head.
I'm glad you made it home,
Ivana said, one hand in Amandal's and the other stroking his arm.
I thought you'd return sooner.
Well, I got carried away.
Ivana nodded, leaning her head against Amandal's arm.
She's surprisingly affectionate, he thought, considering she almost ran off with another man.
Once outside, Ivana pulled Amandal in the direction of her home.
Wait, Amandal said, stopping her. How'd you like to ride a Yudoth instead?
Ivana eyed him up and down, unsure of what he meant. Her eyes, however, lingered elsewhere. Amandal threw his hands into the air.
It's not an innuendo.
Confused, Ivana furrowed her brow.
I mean a conjuration, Amandal said, so we can get to your home faster.
Oh, Ivana laughed, bringing a hand to her mouth. Of course. Why not?
Amandal rolled his eyes, then strode into the street to summon his Yiddoth. As he had foreseen, tonight would be pleasurable. A biting chill stung Amandal's hands, and he felt snow beneath his fingertips.
Snow?
He opened his eyes. To his surprise, the ceiling of Ivana's bedroom was not above him. Instead, he saw a clear sky. A yellow sky. Amandal shot upright. Where am I? He demanded, his gaze frantically darting about the frozen plain that extended away from him in all directions. Amandal rose to his feet and spun about. There were no footprints in the snow. All that marred the ground was an indentation where he had been lying. A freezing gust blew over Amandal, causing him to shiver. He grabbed his arms, rubbing his hands on the sleeves of his charcoal robe.
My robe?
But that was back in his quarters at the Aramian estate, and he had fallen asleep completely undressed. What was going on? Wary, Amandal turned, crunching the snow beneath his boots. A mountain rose above the frozen plain, taller than any he had ever beheld. There were other mountains farther away, but they barely peaked over the horizon. Snowdrifts surrounded him on all sides, spreading as far as he could see.
How did I get here?
He recalled drifting to sleep not long after his and Ivana's throes of passion. Her wild nature was refreshing. She was the ideal distraction. Well, almost. Another gust washed over him, and he shivered, teeth chattering.
This can't be a dream, he said, groaning. It's too real.
But the sky was all wrong. And the sun. It was blue.
No. No, this can't be real, he shouted.
Why not?
A deep voice asked from behind him. Startled, Amandal spun. A man stood several paces away, his chest-length white hair and full white beard whipping in the wind. He wore a blood-red robe with odd symbols woven into it. Amandal had never seen anything like it. The stranger's sapphire eyes stared intently at Amandal as if demanding an answer to the question. Those eyes looked like Ilden's.
They're the same shade.
But unlike Ilden, the stranger looked old, his face a mass of wrinkles.
Why can't this be real, Amandal?
The stranger asked, stepping closer. Amandal balked at the question.
Because the sky is yellow. The sky is never yellow.
Not on Kaldar,
the stranger said with a shrug, stopping beside Amandal. Unsettled by the answer, Amandal studied the stranger. Had he abducted Amandal somehow? It didn't seem likely.
I have to be dreaming.
Not necessarily,
the stranger replied, although Amandal hadn't spoken. Then he stepped ahead of Amandal.
Come, follow me. There is something you need to see.
Amandal didn't move. He watched the stranger walk away, approaching the nearest snowdrift. Before he reached the drift's crest, the stranger turned.
Well, are you coming? Or are you going to stand there and freeze to death?
All right, Amandal grumbled to himself, rubbing his arms as he chased after the stranger.
Snow crept into his boots with each step. The flakes melted, dampening his feet.
Where are we going?
Amandal demanded through chattering teeth. The stranger pointed toward the mountain.
To behold your destiny.
Crazed fool, Amandal thought. The stranger glanced over his shoulder, glaring at Amandal with disgust.
He can't hear me, can he?
They walked for a time, cresting snowdrift after snowdrift. More snow filled Amandal's boots. Sharp pain, like pricking needles, shot through his toes with each step.
Are we close?
Amandal growled between drifts. The stranger grinned wryly.
Just over this next drift, my friend.
I'm not your friend. The stranger cocked an eyebrow and pursed his lips, apparently not amused. They ascended the snowdrift in silence, and Amandal started. A gorge, at least a grand finial wide, spread as far as he could see, surrounding that towering mountain. A grand finial was the sum of 1,000 finials, each of which was about the length of a man's forearm.
"Behold, the reliquary your fellow mages are seeking," the stranger said, pointing across the gorge.
"Huh?" Amandal blurted. "We're in the Abadine Wasteland?" The stranger lowered his hand and grinned. "But the sky is all wrong." Amandal gazed skyward. Clouds approached from his right, but they were red. "This is so strange," he muttered, shaking his head. He turned away, his eyes focused on the snowdrift. There was a purple sheen to the snow. "That's not natural either."
"Amandal,"
the stranger said, a hint of annoyance in his voice.
"Pay attention."
He turned, staring at Amandal with a soul-piercing gaze.
"It is your destiny to unearth the wonders of this reliquary."
Amandal burst into laughter. "What are you, my conscience?" he chuckled. "I must be dreaming." The stranger ignored the question and continued talking.
"When you enter the reliquary," he pointed to the mountain, "you must seek this."
The stranger held out his other hand. A shallow, black, domed disc sat in the stranger's palm. It was polished with a perfect reflection like a mirror. Amandal hadn't seen the stranger reach into any pockets, not that the stranger's robe had pockets. "Was that up your sleeve?" he asked, pointing to the dome. The stranger did not reply. "Looks like something my mother might have in her private dressing room." The stranger shook his head.
"No matter what you do, Amandal, you must find this," he insisted. "It is of the utmost importance."
Amandal frowned. "Could you be any more vague?"
"Go to Tardalum, Amandal," the stranger said, his tone urgent. "Seek the Shanach," he gestured to the dome, "and fulfill your destiny. It is of the utmost importance. Heed this conscription, as you call it. Now go."
Amandal opened his mouth to speak, but the stranger flicked a finger at him. The snowy plain distorted. The yellow sky vanished. Snow flew every direction, melting into violet droplets. The ground shook, forming an ever-spreading chasm between Amandal and the stranger. Amandal shouted a slew of curses as the snow beneath his feet flew away. The ground gave way and Amandal felt himself falling. Colors shot past him, forming streaks of zipping light. Frantic, Amandal reached for something to grab, but there was nothing but light around him.
"Damn you!"
Amandal cried.
"Damn you!"
A burst of brilliant light erupted in front of Amandal, blinding him.
"Damn you!"
he cursed, feeling something soft against his bare back. Was that silk? He no longer felt himself falling. In fact, he was lying on his back. Amandal blinked several times, finding himself staring at the ceiling of Ivana's bedchamber. Slowly he sat up, breathing deeply. Ivana stirred beside him, shifting the silky sheets. "It had to be a nightmare," he muttered. "And a crazy one at that." Ivana stirred again, pulling the sheets off Amandal's feet. Prickling pain shot through his toes, surging to his ankles.
"Ow!"
Amandal cried, reaching for his feet. To his surprise, they were as cold as ice.